Go and educate people. One of the things that Satan does to us in life is to make our young people corrupt mentally. You know, you go to school, most schools you get to, they are not good. Sorting to get results, buying results, has become the order of the day. It's not frowned upon anymore. It's a satanic strategy to make sure that the next generation doesn't do well. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you can bribe your way through university, no wahala. Bribe your way to get a job, no wahala. Then when it gets to international play, nobody checks. Do you know the qualifications of people like Ban Ki-moon? You know Ban Ki-moon, the current Secretary of UN. You do know his qualifications? You don't know. What I know is that when you get to a particular level, it's what you can do. People start checking. And that's when Satan now pushes those who don't have solid foundations to the back. You've heard me say it before. Listen, education is not about certificate. It's about knowledge. What you know. What you know. No matter how many certificates I give you, if you don't know Jack, you don't know it. I can give you a certificate in cooking. Then you open a restaurant, though you can't cook. You put it in front. Nigeria Institute of Cooking. You know, there's institute for everything. Institute of Public Affairs, Journalism, Purchasing, Chartered Accountants, everything, supplies, you know, everything. Institute of Ministry, Institute of Preaching, everything there, all kinds of ministries and institutes. So you can have Institute of Cooking and Making the Heart of Men Glad. The chairperson, diploma, a national diploma, and higher national diploma, internationally recognized diploma. Cook first, does it. Do you get what I'm saying? And I was talking to a real estate developer in this town some time ago, a man you know very well, quite a well-known man in town. He said he's planning to start a school. I said, what for, sir? He said, when they are doing construction projects, that to get young men who can lay tiles, you hear what I said? Tiles in a house that is very hard. They're all busy selling recharge card. Get somebody to fix an engine very well. It's become difficult. In Enugu, it's a serious problem. Believe me, it's a very serious problem in Enugu. When you see big construction going on, go and talk to the workmen. They are all from Ibadan, Togo, and Ghana. That's those who are putting cement and laying block. And it was not always like that. But the men who could do it before, they've grown. They are retiring. Those after them, people told them that that thing doesn't make money. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm bringing an issue. So education can be a ministry. When Satan has that kind of strategic plan to corrupt the lives of the nation, because the youth, they are indeed the future of the nation. So when God wants to antagonize the work of Satan and conquer it, what does he do? It doesn't just rain thunder from above. He raises up a Moses to liberate people. So you can be raised as somebody to go and reignite the spirit of learning in the nation. And it is ministry. And it is what? Ministry. It's so important we get that point. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Talking about the life of purpose. You know, I said we should open somewhere at the beginning, right? Philippians chapter 2. I went into all of that talk to let us understand that ministry is everywhere. There are women, believe me. Your ministry, number one, every woman that marries and God gives children, your first ministry is to raise godly offspring. Did I hear an amen? What I planned to talk about today, which the Holy Spirit moved me slightly away from, we'll still get there anyway, I believe it's part of his plan, is to explain to people how to value things properly. How to judge success. How to decide whether you are succeeding or you are failing. Because one of the problems, when Bible talked about not being conformed with this world, alright, is, you know, we tend to focus on things like how you dress. Now believe me, I believe there is proper Christian dressing. I believe it. No, I believe it. Did I hear an amen? Alright, I do. I'm not one of those who believe that it doesn't matter. God looks at the heart. Believe me, heart is manifested outside. God looks at the heart too. I know. But man needs to see outside to understand the heart. How else do you know that guy on the street is crazy? Do you check his heart? Answer me. Do you check his heart? You look at his hair. Say, this one is not Bob Marley Rasta at all. This is a real one. This is lack of bathing and shaving for the last 6 years. And the man begin walking naked in public. What do you think? Something is not balanced. And when a girl walks naked in public, what do you think? The heart is not balanced. I'm telling you, look. Madness is madness. Whether you consciously remove your clothes, like Tony Braxton on TV, you should know when people are going mental. You are rich and you are called Tony Braxton, doesn't mean you can't go crazy. When you show up with two straps of cloth on international TV, you are mad. The guy on the street is only showing up in the local environment. You are being seen all over the world. Who is madder? You are getting my point? Young women are beg, eh? There is Christian dress. Don't look like a harlot. The Bible says there is an attire that describes a harlot. If I'm going on the road at night, there was a day, Rocky and I were talking there. Some girls moved by. There was only one way I knew that they thought we were looking for people to pick. They didn't know we were just gisting on. Rocky took me somewhere, so my car was here, so he stopped to drop me off. How did I know them? When I saw their gait and their attire, I said, "The Rocks, I think we should start going home. It's getting late." We are beginning to give people the impression we are looking for something else. Now talk with the talk. What am I going to explain? Is by looking outside, I could judge who was the adulterous woman and who was it. All right? But what I'm going to say is that we don't sit on that and say that is Christianity. Because people carry things to every extreme. That's in our church, we don't use earrings. I was teasing one of my students a few days ago. I said, "Where your earring?" I thought, they have an exam starting tomorrow. So I went to give them a revision. So a number of them had missing earrings. So I was teasing them. I said, "This exam is serious. So this, and I don't forget to put earring." Now, this is a matter of fact. If you go and read scripture, it's a sign of mourning that something has gone wrong when women don't adorn themselves at all. They are mourning. That's scripture. Now listen, I'm not talking about dressing now. All right? But if a woman comes out, say, "I know they use jewelry, I know they use makeup, I just look like this," it's not righteousness at all. It's a sign of what? Mourning. You sinned. Your children are sick. Your husband is in distress. You're about to be divorced. And you've worn sackcloth and ashes. And you are fasting. Do you understand my point? That is when people look like that. It's not a sign of victory. Even Jesus said, when you are fasting, paint your face. Anyway, that's by the way. So we said that we thought that was holiness. Let us look the exact opposite of the world. The world is God is the balance. It's not any of the two extremes. Are you following my point? Now I'm bringing out an issue. So we thought that was all there was to conformity to the world. What we look like outside. No. Incidentally, that's the least of it. Amen. That's what? The least of it. That's why Jesus said, when you are fasting, it's important you don't look like you are fasting. Let the issue go on inside. Are you getting my point? Because the outer one is the least. I said all the things I said so far so that we won't think it's not important. It is, but it's the least important. The most important is what goes on in the heart. So when they said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind," what he was saying is that your value system must change. The one I want to talk about, which I wanted to talk about today, but because of time, we'll continue next time, is what really satisfies you, what makes you happy. Listen, what makes you happy, you train it. Let me first say that. It's not necessarily in it. There are some basic things that make children happy. You pick up a child, the warmth of an adult's body, it triggers sweet sensation in the mind, the brain of a child. And when the child is crying, you carry the child. You haven't said anything. He's already quieting down. Food. does the same thing. My wife was pointed something out to me the other day. My smallest boy, the boy is just about 14 months old. He wanted his mother to stand up and carry. She was carrying. He wanted to sleep. And the mom said, "Man, I'm tired. I'm not feeling stand. You will have to manage this, my sitting position, with your head on my shoulder." So his name is Victory. So after a while, when the boy wouldn't quiet him down, she started singing, "Victory, victory, hallelujah, hallelujah." Before my very eyes, the boy kept quiet, put his head down, and slept. I said, "What was that?" He said, "That song to him is magic." Then once we start singing, "Victory, victory, hallelujah, 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 Jesus conquered," you know the song, "Jesus conquered the devil, macha, macha," all those kind of things. The boy just quietens down and goes to sleep. I said, "This is good, though. This boy is anointed from his mother's womb." Now, I'm bringing an issue. So music, again, is like that, you know. There's just music comes, it's in the soul of a child. You see, eventually any child who starts playing music, they start moving. But beyond that level, you start training yourself on what makes you happy and what makes you sad. Do you get my point? Let me give you an example. If Chelsea scores a goal against Man U, do you understand my point? I don't notice. If Man U scores a goal against Chelsea, I don't notice. One white man or a black man that's living in a white country has kicked a ball amongst 22 silly adults into a large space, as far as I'm concerned. But there are some of you that if Man U scores a goal against Chelsea, and Chelsea has the guts not to return that goal before 90 minutes is over, you won't eat. Who does Kaká play for? Huh? Oh, it's not Man U. It's not, okay. You don't know Kaká. He doesn't know you. I know you can recognize him anytime. But if you're an AC Milan fan, they finish play, two goals, Arsenal, nothing, AC Milan. When they say, "Praise the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Pastor, I better hurry.
What's your problem? Kaká didn't score a goal. What am I trying to explain? It's something you taught yourself, which I didn't teach myself. Therefore, it moves you, it doesn't move me. That's all I'm trying to explain. As an adult, you know, in fact, I'm sure most of us are Nigerians here, all right? If not all of us. So one game we don't know generally is cricket. Have you ever watched it on CNN when they are doing world sport? This man, they show you one funny looking guy from Bangladesh that he scored 75 wickets. I don't know how many wickets it's possible to score. And you see the whole nation jubilating and jubilating and jubilating and jubilating. And you're looking like, what is wrong with them? You never knew anything about golf until Tiger Woods began to play. No, what I'm going to say is that, you see, it's training. You focus on something. Suddenly it begins to make meaning to you. Your body begins to rejoice concerning it. Listen, what I'm telling you is a fact. In life, you teach yourself to approve and accept that something is good. Now, there's one I read, you know, I read quite a bit. So, I pick up information here and there. There are some things I know personally, you know. Okay, let me tell you something. You know, the Nigeria of those days, the Africa of those days, which is till today exemplified by villages in the Calabar area. The fine girl is very fat, you know that. Answer me, true or false? The fine girl is very fat. So fat that before you go for wedding, you know, these days when you watch TV, you say, I want to be able to fit into my wedding gown. So chop 2 weeks before the wedding, you don't go chop again. No? Because they have already fitted the gown. But those days, you ain't coming out of the fattening room until you become very fat and it's a wedding day. Because that's the only way they will know this guy married a real woman. You get my point? But you know the story is upside down. It's upside down now. You know that. The one originally the magazine I wanted to refer to is that. Talk about amongst white people. Before, those days, when Africans loved very fat people, now we have bought the story of the Oyinbo man. Very thin people are now fine. Let me tell you the truth. Eh? Thin person is not fine. Fat person is not fine. It's only the man that's looking at you that decides. What I'm telling you is true. For your information, all those catwalking girls are infertile. Medically speaking, okay, don't let me say all those. 50% of them. 50% can't conceive children. Why? They are too thin. Yeah, no, I'm serious. It's a medical issue. So get it clear. Those days, you know, as we were tossing up and down, learning this funny one from the confused people. You know, before, in the Western world, white people, all right? If your skin was very pale, you know, white, properly white, most of us have never seen a white person. I don't mean the one that has a tan. Somebody who is white. There's a reason they call them white, too. You know why? They're really white. Those days, the very white one was a very fine one. But these days, the opposite. The white people go and lie down in the sun and say they are looking for what? Tan. They put tanning lotion and be turning up and down. Then when you get a bronze color on your skin, oh, you are fine. And for adventure, you don't have it, you paint it. So Mary Kay collection give you different kinds of color. Light tan, heavy tan, dark tan, color 602, 507. They are shades of color. You can tan yourself gradually from here to here. They don't. Now, why? Let me tell you the reason why it was like that. Unconsciously, we attach this thing to certain values. That's what I'm saying. To certain values. Then, a pale person obviously wasn't going out much in the sun. Do you understand what I mean? That's the physiology. Then, when most people walked out in the sun, most people were farmers. Everybody had a tan. Only the rich person who didn't have to go out into the farm didn't have a tan. So the person came out to, in her skin, show off how wealthy her husband is. I don't have to walk outside. I have maids that do my outside work for me. That's what she's saying by her pale skin. But now, less than 5% of those populations farm. Most people have indoor jobs. Only those who are rich have the time to go and idle on the beach and get themselves tanned. Suddenly, the color of beauty has changed. Do you understand the logic? Yeah, that's how it works. So unconsciously, what you are saying is that I have the money to go on holidays. I have the money not to labor like the rest of you. Because everybody, whether you're a banker or no, whatever you are, no matter you are rich, you will be inside a shaded environment. So you won't have a tan. Only those who have the money not to work can go and lie down and get a tan. Because they don't work. And bring out something. We create values. We learn them. We decide they are good. We abide by them. It becomes part of our body so that we react automatically without thinking. Once we see something that fits the value we have created in our hearts. Do you get the point? Therefore, contemporary Nigeria, it's unconscious. A successful man drives a good car. Do you know that? One day I told a friend of mine, I said, I want to buy a Jeep. If I have money, God bless me, I'll just buy one. I like big things. So I mentioned the name of one. He said, Banky, that car will be good for your ministry. It was a joke, but we laughed about it. That is, that when they see that's Pastor Banky passing to show that he's a good man. He's a man to follow. I'm adding to it. He's a man to emulate. Look at it. He's doing well. It's a worldly system. Now, I didn't say because of that I won't drive a good car. I'm just saying that that's not the image I'm trying to pass across. And what am I preaching? I'm preaching towards trying to retrain our minds to understand that God has values. And we must learn his values when we are assessing our lives and we are able to rejoice over the things that are important. Let me begin to close. I want to read a few scriptures to explain the point I've made there. Because it's important we understand this is the foundation of this whole thing. Everybody wants satisfaction. What did I say? Everybody wants. In fact, the reason why it's like that is because God made it so. And that's after that's in his image and after his likeness. There's a message I preached sometime 2 years ago, I think, which I titled The Satisfaction of the Father. If you go and read Psalm 50, don't open to it, you'll see that God was talking about offering to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And what was he saying there? He was saying that when you had troubles, you didn't call me. Therefore, you denied me a sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. I studied the scriptures then, and I realized that that sacrifice of thanksgiving, I didn't find it. Maybe it's there, but I didn't see it. I didn't find that as one of the sacrifices that was commanded. All right? The sin offering was commanded. Trespass offering. The heave offering. When your child, your wife gives birth to a son, the firstborn, there's a particular offering that's commanded. But the thanksgiving offering is one that rises out of your soul, out of gratitude to God for something that he's done for you. And he said in Psalm 50, you guys have brought every sacrifice I commanded. But there's one I never see. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why? Because when you are sick, you run to the doctor. When you are broke, you run to the banker. You run to the embassy to go and get a visa. When you have problems, you know people. When you need a job, you call your uncle. You call your father's friend of those days. You have run to everybody else but me. Therefore, you've never had the cause to, from the bottom of your heart, give me a sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. He said, that is the only quarrel I have with you. Therefore, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. You will give me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That is, it makes me happy to be able to boast that I was the one who did that for that man. He didn't know anybody. Nobody helped him. I was the one that did it. It gives me satisfaction. That's why I preach in that message. The satisfaction of the Father. I think it's walking the expectation of God's glory. That's its series. If you don't have it, please get it on one single MP3 CD. It will help you. What I try to preach there is that God is eager to bless people. Do you understand my point? He's eager. He wants to bless people. Now, that's in his soul. That's the way he is. He now made men in his likeness. And he said, for that reason, they too will never be happy until they are satisfied. Alright? What makes the difference between one person and another is what it is that makes them happy. What is it that brings them satisfaction? So we read about Jesus in John chapter 4. He said, my satisfaction comes from what? Doing the will of him that sent me and from finishing his work. That is, what he's saying is that we must learn to get our satisfaction from that thing. Do you get the point? You've heard me say it again and again. Once in a while, people tell me, Banky, this was my mom. A few times. Your friends are building houses now. Is this the season? I say, how many of them have written, great faith can be yours? Choices, the key to destiny. By faith, acquire life. What is God's will here? The righteousness of God. Your future has been prepared. How many of them have written all these books? He that believes, then the one that's coming out, the grace to prosper. How many of them have affected lives the way I have affected lives? Their race is not my race. I get my satisfaction from somewhere else. Do you get my point? One of the things that make me happy once in a while, after we have labored and sweated and everything, and then suddenly I get a text message. A lot of those people, of course, I don't know because I don't have their number. Pastor, tonight's message, this has happened several times. A woman called me up one day in church, says, sir, last Monday I felt like committing suicide. She was a widow, had a child of two, and her life was just managing. Had a small shop somewhere doing recharge card business. Then the person, they decided to kick her out that day. She had nobody. And she laid down and said, if I can, I will commit suicide. Unfortunately, the radio was on. And Pastor Banky began to speak. And he ranted and ranted for 30 minutes. And the woman wiped her tears and said, no, life is not that bad. God is a good God. She said, what I have always wanted to do was to open a small restaurant and sell food to people, but I don't have money. Walked up to one man one day who had a shop and said, sir, I want this shop. And the man gave it to her, believing that she'll pay in 6 months' time. Do you get my point? Without money, she was driven from where she was quartered. Next morning, she had a shop of her own. And she came to church and said, sir, I want to give you a testimony. Listen, that is satisfaction. That is what? Satisfaction. Israel, the story you told me about the young man who spoke on Cosmo FM. Why are people complaining that country is hard? I used to complain too. Until one day I heard Pastor Banky preach. Now I don't complain anymore. I earn money now from farming, enough to go to school with. Government can't do everything. So says Pastor Banky. Do you get my point? When I hear such testimonies, it is what? Satisfaction. My satisfaction comes from doing the will of Him that sent me and from finishing His work. Listen to me, a big house is a good thing to have, but you get used to it after living there for a few months. Then your soul starts searching for something else. That's the way it works. Why do you think those who are on drugs keep on increasing the dose? I was watching on TV a few days ago, good news. They said Culture Club's boy judge was sentenced to 15 months in prison. And I remember that last, when I read about this guy when I was in university those days, after he released a series of hits, he was found, he almost died. He said, then he had been denied that he was on drugs. He said, you don't have to be a doctor to know I'm on drugs. I'm an out and out junkie. I remember the words, never heard it before. I'm an out and out junkie with a 5 gram a day habit, heroin. Talk to a doctor, 1 gram a day will kill a normal person. Because your lungs, your brain will stop breathing. The guy had increased his dose until he was on 5 grams a day of heroin. That is the way it is when you get satisfaction from material things. You keep increasing the dose. They asked the man, how much land do you want to buy? Do you want to buy all the land on the earth? He said, no, no, only the one that touches my own. You get the point. Once I acquire this, I need to have the next one. They asked the richest man in the world then, John D. Rockefeller, how much money does it take to make a man satisfied? He said, just a little more than he has already. And they were talking to the richest man in the world. He said, just a little more than the one he has already. Do you follow my point? You cannot afford it. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That statement is true. Came from the mouth of the Creator God. That, therefore, we must learn it. Because if you don't learn it now, you will frustrate yourself later. You start preaching the gospel that nobody sent you to go and preach. There are many people who are in the jungles preaching. It is not because they love the people in the jungle, but they have to hurt themselves a bit to give life a meaning. Let me just read this and then we close. Philippians chapter 2. Paul was describing the same thing I'm talking about. He says, so then, from verse 12, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom you appear as light in the world, holding fast, all right, the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory or boast. Listen to this, that this is my glorying, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Verse 17, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering, all right, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Get what he was saying there. That is, if I will die in this process and it begets fruit in the strengthening of your faith, then I'm excited. I am glad. Do you get the point? Paul is teaching us something, the same thing that Jesus taught us. Have you ever been so happy and excited you couldn't eat? You couldn't settle? You were so happy. And that was what happened to Jesus Christ. Get my point. It is not with ordinary open eye that a woman will agree to marry 4 different husbands. You don't get the point. You marry one husband, the next year you're married to another one. When you see somebody who has married 4 different husbands, before I used to be unhappy. That was wrong with them, ungodly people. Just be marrying anyhow. But now I've grown. You know what I feel? Pity. No woman wants to marry four husbands. Even Jezebel wants to stay with Ahab till she dies, or he dies. Even Jezebel. What am I saying? For a woman to have married four husbands, and there is not living with another one who is currently not her husband, and that one may not marry her, and another one will marry her, so she will have lived with maybe seven men and married five. That's a desperate situation. Say amen. So when Jesus preached the word, do you understand my point? To such a woman, and she received the gospel, that was why he was excited. So excited, he brought food. He didn't want to eat anymore. What gives you satisfaction? That's what I wanted to begin to talk about. I said to you last time, the major problem in Nigeria is everybody is selfish. Everything they want to do, the first question is what? What is in this for me? I'm retraining our minds as a servant of God. I'm retraining the minds of God's ministers. Everyone listening to me is a minister of God. That is, you should start saying, what is in it for me? You should start rejoicing is, how will this affect the lives of people? Do you get the point? How will this affect the life of people? Have you ever watched Superman? Yeah. You know, generally, according to the story of Superman, nobody who knows who Superman is. But Superman keeps doing good. He was anointed with the holy web and with flying. And he went around doing good and delivering all those who were being attacked by villains. For the atomic spider had beaten him. What am I trying to say? Your satisfaction also will come from one thing, and you will be godly if it comes from this. That the expression of blessing in the lives of the people that you have touched is what makes you happy. Then you will live long and you will never one day look back and say, why have I lived? Do you get the point? That's what I began to talk about. What a Christian should derive satisfaction from. Please, it is not the amount of money you made from that deal. I always say to business people, you are not the only person God wants to bless. Do you get my point? You know, there are those who are always, you know, one day I was somewhere, I've closed my message, just finishing with small gist. A woman was being owed money. No, she went. You know the way it is. You go to a business center, and make this photocopy for me. It's 5 naira or 10 naira. Here is 100 naira. And that day they didn't have change, and they were running up and down. So they finally gave her coins. This was many years ago. I said, no, I can't take these coins. Though she gave them back the coins that they should find her proper change. And if you can't find change, now my luck be that. That is my luck. You give me back my money and I walk away. I remember this was in 1999. About 9 years ago now. I looked at her and I felt, you're a wicked person. These people are running a business. Do you understand my point? If I were the one, I would want you to have change. And if you can't find change, I would take the coins and go away. Let me give you something that happened to me some time ago. I went to go and make a photocopy. I needed to pick something from the pack. I needed my ID card photocopied. So I made a photocopy early in the morning, for 5 naira a copy. I was one of their first few customers for the day. So I said, all right. I gave them 100 naira. And they said, we don't have change. I said, okay, let me pay 10 naira. They said, we don't have change. I said, let me pay 20 naira. They get run up and down and said, no, I still can't find change for 20 naira. And one young man there looked and said, why are you keeping this man waiting? Is it because of change of 5 naira? For 5 naira? He said, please give him back his money. I will pay. Because they were typing some things, so you say, I will add it to my bill. I will pay at the end of the day. Ah, that's a good thing, right? That's a blessed man. May God bless him and increase him for that favor. Amen. But I didn't need 5 naira for giving me in the morning. I looked at him. I said, ah, Oga, thank you very much. I said, but you know, I was going to dash this girl 15 naira. Her bill was 5 naira. I was going to pay her 20 so that it would be easier for her to find change. I said, you're helping me now. We deny her 15 naira. So what do we do? I told the girl, hold the 100 naira, have a good day. And I walked away. And I told my wife, I said, listen, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I feel better in the morning having dashed that girl 95 naira than walked out of the place with somebody giving me 5 naira. Now, it wasn't a bad thing, get my point, it wasn't a bad thing. It's just an attitude I'm trying to pass across. That I felt, no, I should be a giver, not a taker. I can't afford the money. What are we talking about? I can't afford it. Why should I say, now my luck? This person is doing business. That 5 naira is the legitimate charge for that photocopying. I don't want that kind of crappy luck in the morning. The kind of luck I want is the other one the man did for me. Somebody paid. This business, no, I won't deny them. No, let them take the money. So at the end of the day, I just look and say, in the morning, I thought about my life. I said, Banky, I can pay 100 naira for photocopy. I told the girl, today is your lucky day. Here's the 100 bucks. Thank you very much. Give me my 1 naira photocopy. And I walked away. Do you get my point? You have to learn to what? Get satisfaction from good things. Philippians chapter 1, read verses 9 and 10. That we will approve those things which are excellent. Listen to me. Every obedience to God's order brings blessing your way. Two things are going to happen to you. One, listen to this. This is a matter of authentic, prophetic, godly declaration. Two things are going to happen to you as a consequence of approving the right things and getting your satisfaction from that which is right. Number one, you will have prosperity that will endure. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Number two, one day you will stand before the judgment throne of Christ and he will look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can't get any payment more than that. Let us pray.